This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today, Rick brings our series called This Is Us to a close. In these lessons, Pastor Rick shows us how being part of a church family can help meet your deepest needs. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you how you can get a copy of Pastor Rick's book for kids called Words to Love By. This book takes children on a joyful, grace-filled journey, exploring the power of words. They'll learn that while words may be small, they can do big things. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 while you listen to today's message. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with a message called How God Grows Our Faith.
You know, one day, the apostles are walking along, the disciples are walking with Jesus, and they say in Luke chapter 17, verse 5, they said, Lord, increase our faith. That is a prayer God will always answer. Lord, increase our faith. Now, why did they pray increase our faith? Well, there are many, many reasons, but let me just mention two, the next two verses. First, Hebrews 11, 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. That's why you want your faith to increase, because without faith, it is impossible to please God. God does not respond to my complaints. God does not respond to my worries. God does not respond to my bitterness or whatever. But God moves heaven and earth when I trust him. He always responds to faith. And the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. Not only that, faith is the door to everything God wants to do in your life. But in Matthew 9:29, Jesus said, according to your faith, it will be done to you. You get to choose how much I bless your life. According to your faith, I will do it. God responds to faith. You put a little faith in God, you'll get little results. You put a lot of faith in God, you get a lot of results. You put great faith in God, you'll get great results. That's one of the most important lessons I've learned in 40 years. Is that according to your faith, it will be done unto you. God says, you get to choose how much I bless your life. Now, Colossians 2:7 says this, let your roots go down into him and draw up nourishment so that you will grow in faith. Circle that, grow in faith, strong and vigorous. For 40 years, that has been my goal as your coach, as your pastor, as a spiritual leader in helping you. My goal is that you will grow in faith and that your faith will be strong and your faith will be vigorous. Not some wimpy, namby-pamby faith that burns up when the heat's on, but strong, vigorous faith. That's my goal for you. You say, well, Rick, how does God do that? How does God grow my faith? Well, in two big categories, write these down. The two ways God grows your faith. The first way God grows your faith is through knowing God's word. Knowing God's word. That's actually the easy way. It's God's favorite way for you to learn faith. He wants you to read the Bible, listen to the Bible, study the Bible, memorize the Bible, talk about the Bible, because the Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith comes from hearing God's message, and God's message is heard through the word of Christ. So, I can grow in faith every time I read this book. If your faith is weak, it means this. You're not in this book very often. The more you're in this book, whether you listen to it or you read it, the more you get in this book, the more, this is your soul food. It feeds your soul. And some of you have been on a fast for a long time. You haven't been feeding. And so your faith isn't very strong. It's pretty weak. That's the easy way to grow in faith. But even if you studied the Bible 4 hours a day, and you don't, that would still leave 20 hours a day that you're not studying it. So God actually depends more on the second way to grow your faith than he does the first. The first one is the easy way. Second way is the hard way. Well, how's the second way? God grows my faith through circumstances that test me. God grows my faith through circumstances that test me. And while you might only read the Bible for a little bit every day, you have circumstances 24 hours a day. So God depends actually more on the second way to grow your faith and grow your character than he does on the first. Now, faith is like a muscle. And the only way you grow a muscle is by stretching it. by testing it, putting some weight on it, by putting some resistance. You don't grow muscle without resistance. You don't grow muscle without it being stretched. You don't grow muscle without it being tested by a weight or some kind of exercise of some kind. The same is true with faith. You don't grow a faith just by sitting around and saying, oh, I want more faith. You got to have it tested. It's got to be stretched. It's got to be pushed. And that's why God allows these circumstances that test and stretch my faith. What I want to do, and I could have given you 14 or 20 faith steps or tests. Let me just give you four. These are four that I have seen over and over and over and over in the last 40 years. So I know they're going to come up in your life repeatedly. That if you're going to grow in faith, God is going to say, learn the word, but also be realized that I'm going to use tests to strengthen, to stretch, to build, to grow, to develop your muscle, your faith muscle. Okay, what are these four tests that we're going to look at? Number one, God tests and grows our faith through dreams. God tests and grows our faith through dreams. You say, what do you mean by that, Rick? I'm saying that God gives you a dream in your heart. He gives you a vision in your mind of what he wants to do with your life. And this is a test. Everybody's had a dream at some point in their life. Everybody's had a dream. Where do you think that dream came from? It came from God. And God gives us different dreams so everything gets done in the world. If we all like to do the same thing, a lot would get left undone. So the things that you're interested in, the things that you're passionate about, there's some things that turn your crank. There's some things you couldn't care less about. Where do you think you got that? You got it from God.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. You can sign up for Pastor Rick's free email devotional at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
A short time back, Pastor Rick Warren teamed up with a talented artist to create the stunning new children's book, Words to Love By. Written with warmth and wisdom, it speaks to the hearts of little ones and takes them on a joyful, grace-filled journey, exploring the power of words. Through charming illustrations and engaging text, young readers will understand how their words can change their lives and the lives of those around them. Kids learn that while words may be small, they can do big things. Words can encourage, and they can spread love and kindness, and they can let us know we are not alone. This hardcover book is written especially for children ages 4 to 8. It makes a perfect gift for the kids God has placed in your life. Today, when you support Daily Hope with a financial gift, we'll send you the hardcover book, Words to Love by Rick Warren, as our way of saying thanks. Call 800-600-5004 to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or you can visit PastorRick.com. That's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Today is the last day to get your copy, so don't wait.
Once again, here's Pastor Rick.
So how do you know a dream is from God? Two ways. One, it's going to help somebody. If your dream doesn't help somebody, it's not from God. Because God is not interested in just you living a self-centered life. Does that make sense? God is interested in you living a self-centered life. So whatever dream you give you, it's going to help somebody out there. Either a product or a service or an idea or a thought or a book or a service of some kind that you give. You make somebody's life brighter. You make somebody's life more beautiful. You make somebody's life greater, easier, whatever. It's going to help somebody else. That's the first thing. The other one is, listen, it'll be so big, you're bound to fail unless God bails you out. When God gives you a dream, you can't do it in your own power. It is so big that you go, there's no way I could do that. And God's going, right, that's why you're going to have to depend on me. Because if you don't have to depend on me, you don't need any faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. So God will give you a dream that, A, is going to help somebody out there in some way. There's a need for it. Find a need and fill it. You know, find a hurt and heal it. And number two, it's a dream that's going to be so big you can't do it on your own power. Now, here's what the Bible says, Jeremiah 29, 11. Very famous verse. God says, I know what I've planned for you, says the Lord. I have good plans for you. I don't plan to hurt you. I plan to give you hope and a good future. This whole thing, Saddleback Church, started because God put a dream in my heart, in my mind. Kay and I, when we got married, we actually thought we were going to be missionaries somewhere in Asia. And we were ready to go. But God shut the door. And it was the biggest disappointment in my life. I had already been a short-term missionary to Japan, lived in Nagasaki, taught English to help plant a church in Nagasaki. I thought we were going back to Asia. She did too. And God shut that door. God guides you not just through open doors, but he also guides you through shut doors. God slammed that one shut. And I thought, I don't get it. When so few people are willing to go to overseas, and we are, why don't you let us go? And God said, you're not going to be a missionary, but you're going to be a missionary sending church, and you'll send out thousands. So I remember getting out a map of the United States. We were living in Texas at the time. I was working on my master's degree, and I put up a map of the U.S., and I circled every major city outside of the South. Detroit, New York, Philadelphia, Albuquerque, Denver, Phoenix. Finally narrowed it down to four areas on the West Coast, Seattle, San Francisco, San Diego, and Orange County. I was in the South at the time. I thought, man, there are plenty of churches here. I'm going to go where there aren't enough churches. So I studied Seattle, San Francisco, San Diego, Orange County. And one day, that summer, 1979, I discovered, reading census statistics, that this area, the Saddleback Valley where Lake Forest campus is, was the fastest growing area in Orange County. And Orange County was the fastest growing county in the United States between 1970 and 1980. That's not true anymore. But I thought, wherever you got a lot of people moving in, they're going to need churches. So most of you know this story, that I wrote a letter to a guy who was kind of a director of Baptist churches in the area. I was going to a Baptist seminary. I wrote the guy and I said, I'm not asking you for money. I'm not asking you for support. But I'm thinking about coming to the Saddleback Valley to start a new church. And I'd just like your opinion. His name was Herman Wooten. And I wrote that letter to him, not knowing that somehow in the providence of God, he had heard that I was interested in planting a church. And he had written to me. And as a seminary student, he said, Dear Mr. Warren, we had never met. He said, I've heard you may be interested in planting a church. Have you ever considered a place called the Saddleback Valley? And our letters crossed in the mail. I put my letter in one day, and the next day I went to the mailbox, opened it up, and there's a letter from the guy I just written a letter to, knowing he probably just got mine that day. And I burst it into tears. And that started giving me a little sign that I was on to the dream that God wanted me to do. And so... Bottom line is, I went around to some churches and tried to get some support. Nobody would support me. At that time, nobody would support me. So I said, okay, Kay, here's the thing. I think God is calling us to move to a city we've never been to and start a new church with no money and no members and no building, and I've never been a senior pastor. What do you think? And she did what you did. She laughed. Actually, then she said, she looked at me and said, well, it scares me to death. It scares me to death. But I believe in God. And I believe in you. So let's go for it. I've often thought, how would history be different if my wife had said no? There would be no Celebrate Recovery. There'd be no purpose-driven life. There'd be no Daniel plan. There'd be no peace plan. There'd be no 55,000 people baptized and headed into heaven. There would be no purpose-driven church ministry that's trained over 1 million pastors. None of that would have happened. There would not be the book that is the best-selling book in American history and just passed 50 million copies. It's the most translated book in the world. It's in Guinness, purpose-driven life. None of that would have happened. I just want to pause here and say, when somebody has a dream, make sure you're not the dream buster, because you may be thwarting the will of God. You just ought to be pretty careful about that. So when Kay gets dreams, I'm going, God, don't let me get in the way. And I support her in what God is saying to her in the same way. Now, a lot of people say, well, I don't have dreams because it's scary. Well, of course it's scary. That's why it requires faith. Every single decision, major decision I've made in 40 years as pastor of this church, every single one of them scared me to death. I just decided a long time ago, I'm not going to base my life on fear. We're going to do the thing that we fear. We're not going to let fear dominate our lives. That's what courage is. If you're not afraid, you don't need courage. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is when you do what you know God's told you to do, even though you're scared to death. But it's just trusting God, moving ahead in your fear. Now, a lot of people think, well, I'm not going to go after my dream because I don't have a peace about it. You're not going to have a peace about it until you take the step. God doesn't give you the peace before you take the move. You're waiting for him to give you the peace. Now, he's not going to give it to you. Of course you got fears. But you make the move, and you step into the water, and you watch the waves part, and then the peace comes. Now, I'm already out of time, and I did one point. And I thought I'd teach you 40 years of lessons in one sermon. You guys, it's time for true confessions, 40 years, if you haven't figured this one out. I have really good sense of space. You can drop me down in any city in the world and I'll know which way to go. I just have an internal gyroscope. I have no sense of time. Have you noticed that? My, how time flies, all right? All right, I tell you what. I will give you the fill-ins and won't teach you and tell you the stories. Please beg me. Okay, one more point. I'll give you two. Then we'll just have to teach the rest of us later, okay? Oh, first, let me just say this. Look at this verse, Ephesians 3:20. God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. Here's the thing. Don't let the size of your God determine the size of your dream. Don't make the dream based on what you think you can do. That's going to be a pretty small dream. Make the dream based on what you think God can do. Second big test. God tests and grows our faith, not just through dreams, but through delays. No dream is instantly fulfilled. Here's the biggest problem you do. You set your goals too low and you try to accomplish them too quickly. We overestimate what we can do in a year, but we underestimate what we could do in 10 or 20. Set bigger goals, bigger dreams for your life, and then give the rest of your life to it. Stop splashing around on baby beach with little dinky, tiny goals. Make your life count. I can teach you how to do something great with your life. I cannot teach you how to do it quickly. It takes time. You may be in what looks like the impossible stage right now, but it's going to get to the possible. And then it's going to get done.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so happy that you've chosen to study along with us today. If you'd like to have a hope-filled message from Pastor Rick delivered to you every day, go to PastorRick.com and sign up for Rick's free email devotional right now. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, Pastor Rick Warren teamed up with a talented artist to create the stunning children's book, Words to Love By. Written with warmth and wisdom, it speaks to the hearts of little ones. Words to Love By takes children on a joyful, grace-filled journey exploring the power of words. Through charming illustrations and engaging text, young readers will understand how their words can change their lives and the lives of those around them. Kids learn that while words may be small, they can do big things. Words can encourage, and they can spread love and kindness, and they let us know we are not alone. This book is hardcover and is written especially for children ages 4 through 8. It makes a perfect gift for the kids God has placed in your life. Today, when you give a gift to help Daily Hope take the certain hope of Jesus to people worldwide, we'll send you the hardcover book, Words to Love by Rick Warren, as our way of saying thanks. Call 800-600-5004 to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this beautiful children's gift book. Or you can visit PastorRick.com. That's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Today is the last day to get your copy of this beautifully illustrated children's gift book, so don't wait. Here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
Hi, everybody. Today I want to share a very powerful letter from a listener named Michael. Michael experienced terrible trauma as a child, but he says that Daily Hope is helping him overcome his past, and now he's looking to the future with his kids. Let me read you just a little bit of Michael's story. Dear Pastor Rick, you and Daily Hope have brought God into my life, and it has saved me. I am a 29-year-old father of 5 children, and I try my hardest to teach my children to know God and to love Jesus and how to pray, and I do my best to be a good example and be worthy of all the good gifts that God has given to me. But you know, because of my childhood and the insecurities and abandonment issues that were created in my life from years of mental abuse, physical abuse, verbal abuse, and yes, even sexual abuse, I've always had a hard time trusting God. I woke up every day feeling unworthy, and I suffered from feelings of anxiety and depression, and I felt like God couldn't possibly love me because no one else had ever loved me. And I carried that pain inside of me for so long, craving for a close, better, intimate relationship with God. Now, listening to Daily Hope has helped me achieve that and more. I'm not only better, but I'm now better for everybody else around me, spreading all that I've learned and the good news of Jesus Christ. I know God better than ever, and I now have more faith than I ever knew possible because I feel His love. Thank you so much. Daily Hope does such a great work in the name of Jesus, and I will forever be in your debt for bringing the fire of faith into my heart and helping me know God. I love you, and I hope you continue to bring change in the world through the message of Jesus Christ. You know, Michael, I absolutely love how you're teaching your 5 kids to know Jesus. That is a real man, a real dad, a real father. It's so important to pass it on to the next generation. And I'm encouraged that Daily Hope is helping you with the trauma of all your past and helping you work through those issues and keeping you growing in the love of Jesus Christ. You know, stories like the one you wrote to me are what keep me going. It's why we do this, changed lives. Now, I want to pray for you. I want to pray, dear Lord, pour out your love on Michael. Help him to sense your love so that he never doubts it. Pour out your blessing and your peace on his family. I pray that they will continue to grow in their faith and that they will experience the peace that passes understanding as they follow you. God, I want to thank you for his faithfulness. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, feel free to send him an email at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.